Morning. Hello, friends. Thanks for tuning in for our next sermon in our Proverbs series. Today we're going to be looking at wise speech, wise speaking. As we come to God's word, let's pray. Let's pray. Lord God, living God who speaks words of life, who speaks words of truth, would you please speak to us today and teach us to be people that are wise in our speech. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one of the greatest skills that a person can develop is the ability to speak well. For some of us it comes naturally, for some of us it's a challenge, but the skill of speaking well is important. There are books and courses full of tips and tricks that you can use to speak well. Dale Carnegie was an American salesman at the start of the 20th century. He's probably most famous for his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And he built a career that was all about teaching people how to be more successful and more influential and more self-confident. And a large part of his courses, and his first ever course, was actually about teaching people public speaking. There is real power in speech. It might surprise you to know that Proverbs talks more about speech than any other subject, but it shouldn't surprise us. There is power in how we speak. Proverbs 18:21 says that, well, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. There's dozens of proverbs that talk about the power of our speech for good or for ill. Our words can bring great blessing. 12:14, from the fruit of their lips people are filled with good things, and the work of their hands brings them reward. Or our words can be a trap that sinks us. The mouths of fools are their undoing, and their lips are a snare to their very lives. Proverbs is concerned with our speech because it recognizes the power of speech. Sometimes we can think about speech as merely a skill. If you'd like to watch something amusing to demonstrate, go and have a look on YouTube for a talk by Will Steven called How to Sound Smart in Your TEDx Talk. I can put a link in the notes for this video. He talks impressively for 5 minutes using all sorts of pacing and dramatic pauses, tone variations, hand gestures, graphs, statistics. He's engaging and he's dynamic and he's entertaining. The only catch is he's quite explicit that he's not actually talking about any subject. That isn't how Proverbs talks about speech. It isn't a how-to manual of tips and techniques for how to give a better sales pitch. It's about gaining wisdom in how we use words. Proverbs tells us that a wise person speaks with knowledge. 10:14, the wise store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool invites ruin. A wise person is quick to listen and slow to speak, thinking carefully before they open their mouths. 15:28, the heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. In fact, sometimes the wisest thing is not to speak. Sometimes the wisest thing is to hold your tongue. 12:23, the prudent keep their knowledge to themselves, but a fool's heart blurts out folly. Part of being wise in speech is weighing up when to speak, when to stay silent. The book of Proverbs actually has two proverbs next to each other that invite us to think about whether to speak or not. 26:4-5, they say, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. The very next proverb, answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. Should we speak or not? Well, we need wisdom so that we can discern whether to speak or whether to be silent. All of these are ways that a person shows wisdom in speech, and this wisdom is important for us to consider. Perhaps like never before, we are in a world that is flooded with communication. There is a perpetual flood of streaming, tweeting, texting, emailing, Zooming, podcasting, chatting. All of this is a deluge of communication. Now, how much of that flood is knowledgeable speech, restrained speech, wise speech? We actually have a power that would have been unthinkable a generation or two ago. We carry with us the ability to broadcast our speech to hundreds, even thousands of people in an instant. People we know and people who we have never met before. If Proverbs is right that the tongue has the power of life and death, that our words could be a blessing or a snare, well, we should learn to be wise in how we communicate. Just imagine for a moment if Twitter had a 24-hour lag before any tweet was posted. Just imagine that. How many people, even 10 minutes after hitting send, would think, maybe I shouldn't have said that. You know, when it comes to speech, Proverbs is much more concerned with substance than with style. It sees that both what we say and how we say it is an overflow or outpouring of our character. Proverbs warns us to be honest. 26:28, a lying tongue hates those it hurts and a flattering mouth works ruin. It warns us to steer well clear of gossip and slander. 26:20, without wood a fire goes out, without gossip a quarrel dies down. It warns us to communicate in a way that fosters peace, not stirring up conflict or controversy. 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Wise, honest, and loving speech doesn't come out of a vacuum. Proverbs again and again makes a link between what is on our lips and what is in our heart. Wise, honest, loving speech comes from a wise, honest, loving heart. Have a listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12. He's confronting a group of duplicitous religious leaders who've been publicly slandering him. He says this, "The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they've spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Jesus' words here bring home to us the importance of wise speech. Words are far from unimportant. They will form part of God's judgment of us. There is the power of life and death in the tongue. But Jesus also tells us that our problems with speech come from the heart. Think about the last time you got into trouble with words. Now ask yourself, why did I talk like that? Why does gossip sometimes feel so good to us? Why is it that there are times when we find it easier to lie than to tell the truth? Why do we lose our temper and use words to lash out at others or to manipulate others or to try to flatter others? Often, it's because we do not feel secure as we are. Gossip shines a light on someone else's failures and we feel a bit better about ourselves. We worry that the truth will expose us or make us look bad, and so we lie or we tell half-truths. We lash out because we feel threatened. We manipulate or flatter because we want to be seen or treated a certain way, and we don't trust that honesty and sincerity and trustworthiness will actually get us what we feel we need. To the extent that you feel insecure about who you are, you'll feel a temptation to use words to distort the truth or to gossip about others. To the extent that you can't trust God for what you need, you'll feel a temptation to manipulate or threaten, flatter others. I don't know about you, but when I am under great pressure, and I feel trapped or exposed or insecure, my speech becomes hostile or manipulative or dishonest. Let me give you some fantastic news though. Because of Jesus, you can be completely secure. You can trust God. Because of Jesus, God looks at you and he loves you. He accepts you and holds you completely secure. whether you succeed or fail, whether you win or lose, whether others recognize your worth or not, whether the pressure is on you and you feel the temptation, God looks at you and he loves you utterly, completely, absolutely. You can be secure in his love. You can trust him. We know this because Jesus suffered for us so that we can be made right with God. Jesus was under the greatest pressure. Everything he was being called into question. And yet in the midst of that pressure, he speaks wisely. Peter, one of Jesus' apostles, he wrote about Jesus' death in his first letter. And listen to what he says. Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you've been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Jesus did what we fail to do. He was absolutely secure in God's love for him. He perfectly trusted God even in immense suffering, and he did it for us. He suffered for us so that we would be healed. He suffered for us so that we would be forgiven. He suffered for us so that our speech, all the ways that we sin in our words, wouldn't separate us from God's love. And he suffered to leave us an example. When we've failed in our speech, we can go to God and confess it to him, knowing that he will forgive us and restore us and show us his love because of Jesus. Jesus' death cleanses us from all the ways that we have messed up in our speech. And when we start to feel insecure, or to feel that we can't trust, well, that is a moment to run back to what Jesus did for us. To remember that we are so loved and accepted by God, and that nothing and no one can separate us from his love. We can trust him. We can rest secure in him. And when we've grasped that, we don't need to gossip about others. We don't need to. We don't need to bend the truth. We don't need to try to get the first word or have the last word. We can follow Jesus' example. We can be quicker to listen, slower to speak, more honest, more trustworthy, more loving. Then our tongues really can be a source of life. Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, you spoke perfectly, completely and utterly wise in your speech, even in a situation of great pressure and difficulty where you could have failed to trust or failed to be wise in your speech. You were perfectly wise, honest, restrained, full of knowledge. God, we want to be like you. Jesus, we pray that you would work that in us. And we know we fail time and again. We fail to live up to this speech. And time and again, we are living down the things that we have said foolishly. Lord, would you assure us of your grace? Assure us of your peace. Assure us of the forgiveness that is ours in Jesus. And Lord, would you help us to know how absolutely secure we are in your love, that we can hold fast and firm to you because you hold fast and firm to us. Lord, work your spirit in us to speak wisely and well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, friends, Thank you for joining us.